Hey, guess what? Second day on the air with BBSRadio.com. I am telling you, we are having a ball out here. We are at Capitol ClearSpeak. It is on the west step of the Capitol, downtown Sacramento, and we are in a tent that is air-conditioned. It's got food. I mean, we're very comfortable here. The Republican Caucus actually sponsors this every year, called Capitol ClearSpeak, and all the stations from all over the state of California are invited to come out, and we were very gratified that they asked BBS Radio to come out and do this, too, and the Pop Off Radio Show. So we're going to kick off. We've got a slew of folks with us on the show today. We're going to talk about lifestyle. We're going to talk about health. We're going to talk about immigration. We're going to talk about jobs, economy, everything that has to do with you and your life. And again, welcome to Pop Off Day 2 with BBS and more to come. Tomorrow we'll be back in studio. But right now, I've got to tell you, it is something for us to be able to find out exactly what's going on with life in general. And when I say life in general, I mean we talk about a lot of things happening in California, let me tell you. But when I talk to this first guest, he hopefully will have some answers for us. He's past president of the Sacramento Synod, board of supervisors, boards from criminal justice to air quality management, flood control, and I can go on and on and on. Probably spend the whole time of the interview giving you all his qualifications, including the YOLO Sacramento Port Commission. Now he is Assemblyman from the 5th District, Roger Nilo. Nice to have you with us, Roger.
Pop off at the Capitol ClearSpeak. I like that. That's a mouthful. I'm surprised I could say it.
Well, we say pop off, we always pop off.
Yes,
that's the whole idea.
Absolutely.
I want to talk a little bit about flood control because, obviously, Governor Schwarzenegger, Sacramento area, we are very, very similar to what happened in New Orleans. We are just another flood away, and we were close in 86, if you remember. It was almost
and 97.
Yeah, you're right.
Interesting.
And I live in the South Natomas area, which means I would have been underwater. All of downtown Sacramento would have been underwater. And, you know, we've got the federal government saying, you guys got no problems. What is with the government? Do they not see another potential disaster with billions and much more billions than maybe even New Orleans had if they don't help us out with what we've got out here?
Well, the federal government hasn't said that we don't have problems, but Governor Schwarzenegger declared an emergency, which is an unusual thing to do.
But he's right.
And he was correct in doing that so that we can move quickly on the repairs that need to be made to some of those critical levees. However, what the request was for the federal government to declare a similar state of emergency, that would have triggered the perhaps necessity, but certainly strong possibility that the federal government would have to declare emergencies all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
It would have created a challenge for the federal government. I'm not sure if they would even know exactly how many areas that would trigger that sort of request. And so as a compromise, President Bush is having the Army Corps of Engineers work with our state officials so that we can move as quickly as possible in the repairs.
You know, I'm going to be real honest with you, Assemblyman. Whenever I hear, we're going to have the Army Corps of Engineers, we're going to do another state commission, we're going to do another research on something, that means we're going to wait another 10 years, and in that 10 years, we may have another flood that's going to take us all out. Why do we always have to wait so long? I hate those political wheels.
We're not waiting. We're moving ahead on those particular repairs. The state is. That's the 25 or 27 critical spots that the governor identified.
But that's patchwork.
Oh, yes. It is patchwork on those levees. We have a significant job in rebuilding a lot of levees that we have. It's the same as the rest of our infrastructure problem. We've neglected it for 20 or 30 years. When I was at the local level, my focus was on the American River flood threat, and the debate there is Auburn Dam or no Auburn
yeah.
Dam. I continue to be a firm supporter of that, because the interesting thing about these levees is that we've done a lot of work for the levees on the American River, but we still have the lowest level of flood protection of any metro area in the United States.
That's frightening, isn't
by
it?
Virtue of the American River threat. It's very frightening. And the only thing that we're moving forward on right now is, in addition to a lot of work to the levees, which is good, and in addition to some redesign of Folsom Dam, which is good, and then longer term raising the level of Folsom Dam, a pretty expensive project,
yeah.
which is also good, after we do all of that work, Sacramento metro area, by virtue of the American River, will still have the lowest level of flood protection of any metro area in the United States. The only thing that gets us above, significantly above 200 years protection to 300 to 400 years, is storage upstream from Folsom Dam. That's a euphemism for the Auburn Dam, obviously.
Yeah.
So I continue to favor that particular project. And regardless of what we do to the levees, if we have too much water running down the American River, it'll overtop levees. So that's the challenge with regard to the American River. There's still significant challenges in the Delta area with regard to old levees that were designed and constructed really for agricultural purposes. And if we had a catastrophic failure there, it would cause flooding, yes, but the really big problem would be to the water supply for virtually the entire state of California.
See, that's the other thing. Well, there are two things that you brought up which I think are significant. One is the building that is going on in the Sacramento area and in Northern California in general, simply because it is the only affordable area in the state of California to be able to buy anything anymore.
Right.
So it is blossoming. In one way, wonderful. In another way, it's going into floodplain areas. Are people aware that it's a floodplain area? Do they know what they're getting themselves into? Should we require flood insurance? My answer to that is you betcha. But we don't anymore in some of those areas. That is freaky.
Well, when you say require, that means that the government is going to tell people what to do.
But at least warn them, because if they don't, then they're responsible.
Correct. You are correct about that. And disclosure is essential.
Exactly.
And I would recommend to anybody that relies on a levee for protection from flooding,
uh-huh.
regardless of the level of protection that they have, I would strongly recommend that they get flood insurance. But the important thing is that they have to know. There, I don't think there's any place that you can build a house in the state of California that isn't at risk for some sort of natural disaster, whether it's wildfires, earthquakes, flooding, whatever it is.
And people don't realize the insurance doesn't cover that.
Well, some of those things that it does. An earthquake, you're correct, you have to have supplemental policy for that. Flooding, you have to have supplemental policy for that. But the point that I'm making is, if we say that people can't build in an at-risk area, we wouldn't build anywhere.
Right.
That isn't the issue. The issue is people need to know what their risks are, and they need to know how they can appropriately protect themselves from those risks.
Another thing, you were on the Port Commission. This is so important, because we talk about, we're worried about the people coming over the borders and the terrorists being able to infiltrate our country. I agree, we have to be very careful about that. But the people that I've spoken to on my show, Assemblyman, let's be really honest about it. They said the ports are a sieve. Not only our port, but the ports all over the country are a sieve. That is the easiest thing for terrorists to get into this country. What are we doing to protect our ports?
Well, we have received money from the federal government for port protection. It continues to be a focus for us. You are right, there is significant risk at the ports, and there's still a lot of work to be done to protect our ports and, frankly, protect all of our borders also.
Yeah.
That's an ongoing project.
Well, but how secure can we feel at this point? Are we doing anything about it right now? Is there something being done even at the Port of Sacramento or in Stockton? I mean, we're surrounded by this kind of stuff.
Well, the really big risk.
We're worried about them coming over Canada border. You know, worried about our own backyard.
They actually arrested a band of terrorists in Canada. I was incredulous with regard to that. But the larger risks from ports are those actually at our borders, not so much the Sacramento port, though its security is a significant issue there, but much more critical at ports like Los Angeles and Long Beach. They're huge ports with tremendous amounts of activity, as we have at airports. And it is an area that we still have a lot of work to do on, as we do protecting our borders from foot and car traffic, too. So.
Our economy, where are we headed with our economy? One day we're told it's all wonderful, and the next day we're told, wait a minute, it's not quite as wonderful as we thought. The stock market has been taking a nosedive. Interest rates are starting to go up, and people are not going to be buying as heavily as they were before because of that. Your opinion?
Well, the economy is cyclical. It goes up and it goes down.
You bet.
You kind of have to expect that. But we have had, for the past couple of decades, a remarkably strong economy. We've had our dips, but generally it has been a steadily upward movement in terms of employment, in terms of wealth creation. Just look at the stock market. There have been some downturns, but where we are versus 1980 is absolutely remarkable. The economy continues to be strong. We have some near-term challenges, there's no doubt about that, but I'm still extremely optimistic about the economy.
But you get back and do your job,
Assemblyman
Hillo. We need to have you guys in there and is doing the job first rate. Keep at them. We are counting on you to make California the biggest and best state. We are a sixth nation state in the world?
Depends on who's counting, fifth, sixth, whatever.
It's high enough.
It's a big, big, powerful economy.
We are the leader of the pack, and we need to stay there and be an example for the rest of the country.
We do. We need to recruit manufacturers. We need to recruit employment. We need to recruit wealth generation for everybody that lives here.
Thank you so much, Assemblyman Hillo. Appreciate the time you spent with us.
Hop on.
You bet. I'll always be after you. You know that.
Good to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, look to the legislature for change by your vote on Pop Off. That is what it's all about, folks. That we make you understand that law and order is all that it is about when you talk about life and what is happening out there. And what better person? I met this lady at the funeral last night for the governor, and she was so delightful. I said, you got to come and do my show tomorrow. Absolutely. She is a businesswoman who cares about what goes on in politics and in life. Assemblywoman Mimi Walters is, of course, from the 73rd Assembly District. She's a founder of the California Women's Leadership Association and has served on the boards of the National Association of Women's Business Organ Owners. And finally, I got to have a woman on my show. I mean, I did the whole day yesterday with these guys coming and going, coming and going. And all of a sudden last night at the table, I said, Mimi, are there no women Republicans anymore? And she says, I'm pumped. I'm so glad you came to be with us today. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Now, I know one of the specific things that is on your mind is this thing called eminent domain, and it has bugged me ever since I've heard about this. How dare the government say, you know, you're going to take away from me to give to someone else to be successful? I don't think so.
You're absolutely right. I mean, owning your own home is the American dream.
Explain to them what eminent domain is in case they don't know.
Well, when the Supreme Court decided last June on a 5-4 decision that local governments can come in and take your property to turn around and give it to another entity in order to generate tax revenue, people got up in arms, because now what the government is saying is that we can seize your property and give it to somebody else so that they can make money.
Yeah.
And that's completely wrong. I mean, eminent domain is when the government comes in to take your property. If they need to build a school, or if they need to build a road or something of public
that's
use,
different.
That's different. I mean, we all understand there's infrastructure needs we have, and sometimes government needs to do that.
For the good of society.
Exactly. Exactly. But to turn around and take it just in order to generate tax revenue is completely wrong. And people across this nation are furious about the Supreme Court's decision.
As they should be.
Absolutely. But the thing is, what do we do about it? I mean, we sit here and say, but they've made the decision. They're moving forward with this. How do we stop them? It's like the old saying, once you give the federal government or any government power, it's harder to take it away.
That's right. In the Supreme Court decision, what they allowed is that states could opt out. So what that means is states could take it into their own hands and make decisions. And I introduced a bill last year, Assembly Bill 590, after the Supreme Court decision was rendered, that would basically undo the Kelo decision.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, it failed in committee. And as a Republican, that often happens up here in Sacramento.
But it's happening all over the country, and it's not only Republican caucuses that are doing it or Republican legislatures that are fighting it. It's everybody fighting it.
It's a bipartisan issue. But unfortunately, the majority party, I believe, is out of touch with the residents in California, especially on this issue. So I introduced another bill this year.
Oh, good for you.
And but it failed. It failed. Unfortunately, it failed. And I know we also had Assemblyman Doug LaMalfa had introduced a bill, as well as Senator Tom McClintock.
Yes.
There are several of us who have been on the forefront of this issue trying to change the decision of Kelo versus City of New London.
Now, what can the people do about it? Can we call our legislators? Who do we call? Who do we bug? Who do we drive crazy?
Well, what's happening now is there is an initiative that's that's going to be qualifying for the ballot in November. It's called Protect Our Homes.
Okay.
And it's being taken to the people. The people are going to be able to make the decision if they want to reverse the Kelo versus City of New London. And that's what we have to do in this state quite often, is go through the initiative process.
Yeah, and I think the people are going to have to stand behind it, because if we're like the baby and we're sitting on our hands, you know, someone is finally going to say, too bad, we'll just tell you what to do and what's going to happen to your life, and we're going to lose all our own rights to do what we need to do.
That's right. We have to stand up for this and fight and make sure that our voices are heard.
Can they call your office?
They can certainly call my office.
Or email, or what do you want? I mean, you tell me what you want.
They can call my office at 916-319-2073. And let us hear your voices and how you feel about eminent domain, because we want to make sure that we're fighting for the people and fighting to protect the American dream.
It's the American dream, not only the California dream. And that's the reason I definitely want people to call your office. It doesn't matter even if they're listening in Massachusetts. It's going to happen back there, too.
That's correct.
So wherever it is, if we can support, if we can be the leader of the pack in this state and let other states to know, you can't do this. It's not going to be allowed. And if we fight for it, we can win.
That's correct. And we're going to continue fighting.
Fantastic. Assemblywoman, thank you so much for joining us today. You are a delight. Keep those guys in line, would you?
I will. I'm watching them.
Somebody
thank you.
Thank you so much, Mimi. Assemblywoman Mimi Walters, what a dynamo. This is the kind of people that we need in the legislature, people who care about us and what our life is all about. Issues and signs of the times on Pop Off.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's just something you gotta work on. Human experience is such a quick jaunt.
Good vibrations going on in California right now, because we got another senator with us. We are going to grill every senator, every assemblyman, and find out exactly what's happening in California so we can be the leader of the pack and let the rest of the country know that we can make a difference. Now, he's a business owner, CEO of a real estate investment firm, but he cares about community, which is, this is where I'm going with it. Taxes? Well, he says, we don't need no stinking taxes. And Senator Bob Dutton, 31st District, Rancho Cucamonga. I've wanted to say that all day. Rancho Cucamonga. Wants to know that he is going to stand his ground. Senator Dutton, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, the candidates are hitting the trail. They're all promising no taxes, but they're making an awful lot of promises.
We're going to try to do
education, economy. We're going to do this. We're going to do health care. We're going to, you know, flood control. All this. Where's this money going to come from?
Well, I think what you want to do is you want to take a look at the reciprocal effect of when you make investments into the infrastructure of California. But we're talking about, like an example, these bonds that have been proposed, especially the transportation bond.
I got to tell you,
you're talking about
a lot
of jobs
that are
being created and actually money and investment into the future of California, and the benefits, if you're actually are in there building roads and putting in rail and grade separation, things like that,
right.
And actually that's going to be a benefit that's going to keep on returning.
Okay.
And it'll help.
Promise?
Well, that's the intent. You have to take a look at within the bill itself. I think in that particular
that would be interesting, wouldn't it? I don't think it's all that important, but it would be interesting.
It's not just one specific area. Now, granted, there'll be people that say, well, L.A. gets a big chunk down in their area. Well, that's true, but you also got 9 million people living down there, too.
Okay.
So they pay a little bit more. But what's nice, what I think is good about the transportation bond
is that it will
have benefits all the way up from the northern border of the state all the way down to the southern, because there's a lot of connecting the dots,
so to speak,
that we have to do.
Well, California is an enigma huge state. It should actually be divided into like a north and south, because the two are not even close.
But also the other thing, too, to keep in mind with what we're proposed here, we're also fixing constitutional...
Oh, hold on. Bear with me. I see what you're saying.
Sales tax on sale of gasoline as well. That money is supposed to go to transportation, but unfortunately, there was a little loophole in the initial proposition
that ran out of
money with the wall.
Oh, duh. Look what they've done to Social Security. They keep saying, we won't have any Social Security. You haven't had any Social Security for the last 20 years. It's been borrowed.
We can create a financial crisis just by showing up to work up here, but it becomes a problem. What it is that part of what's going to be on the ballot come November will be a constitutional fix, so that money cannot be used for anything other than transportation. So you've heard people talk about pay-as-you-go plan. Well, that helps you get there. The $19.9 billion will help you catch up and connect a few of the dots. But the Proposition 42 fix then will enable us to continue to be a pay-as-we-go.
They end up being pulled into the homepage when your show starts.
But the state of the economy
stays on your
bio
page.
We do not have a revenue problem. Our revenue is growing. The trouble is
it's just an addition. It's just an addition to your website.
Spending going on,
and it also shows your speakers, your guests, your lineups.
And what we need
is information that's pertinent for the listeners, so that they know what's coming on your show.
We need to grow our way out of this problem, but you can't keep incurring greater debt or greater expenses for programs that do not have any definitive return.
I agree with you, but I have to be honest with you. I shouldn't even care about that.
Sure, so you want that taken out of the index page.
But, all these bond issues, we keep borrowing money. Now, I don't care because I don't have any kids. So my great-great-great-grandchildren are not going to have to worry about paying off all these funds. Mm-hmm. How much more can we be borrowing without paying some of it off?
Well, and that's what I liked about the original proposal that the governor had made for this year, because it does have debt retirement on previous.
It could be long, it can be short, whatever you make it.
Basically, the deficit reduction bonds that were authorized by the voters. But, let's talk about what's happened in the past. Because of California...
It's fun, though. Everybody loves it that way. Because it allows them access to change their bio
page. Actually authorized over $40 billion.
And it also allows them access to lift all the guest money.
$8 billion a year.
Now,
we did get a few schools out of it, but that's it.
Yeah.
Now, the way I look at it, if there is going to be this appetite, if we're going to have this appetite for wanting to borrow money, which seems to be a natural thing with our culture, then why not structure it into things that we know are going to have a long-term benefit that will go beyond this current generation?
Right.
Okay,
I kind of like the transition.
Okay, well, we can
a lot of
maybe you want to write down
in the bond,
what you want down
here, benefit and I'll
do
just
it.
Like the original
okay, now do you want that?
Was built back in the 1960s,
right.
Benefits us today.
What we're
although it's pretty potholy right now.
Well, that's because with all due respect,
let's go back to Jerry Brown in the years.
Yeah.
He said, well,
that would
stop
be
building
wonderful.
And he won't come. Well, guess what? We did
stop
building, not a problem.
On top of that, but let's also look at what's happening.
Oh, it's not a problem. I'm just going to spend a little bit more time with my folks here before they leave. But let's talk tonight. It's all good. Tonight's good.
Excuse me.
Fair with
I don't
me.
Think we can do that.
CBS Radio.
Or you can get more money from
us.
Why do they keep taking it?
That's in essence what happens with the sales.
CBS Radio.
It goes from $1.50 a gallon, and they get what? $14, $15, $50, $60 cents.
Federal excise tax is 18 cents.
But it's out of shape.
And California actually has
you
the
know, top pushes the left to
far
over
14 cents to the gallon, but then we have sales tax on top of it.
Yeah, it is frustrating. It is frustrating to go to the polls and do these initiatives or the propositions or whatever they have to be.
Hold on.
And
CBS
you say, you know, I'm voting for this, and then all of a sudden, everybody promises is going.
That's a real problem.
That's a frustration for a voter. A lot of people.
I don't know how that's possible.
I don't even want to go to the polls. Look what happened in our last
election.
Yeah, but I don't know how that's coming through because there's no mic on.
Which is the sales tax on the real gasoline. And unfortunately, it was written so they gave you some.
Oh, I'm seeing something now.
And use it for something other
that's
than
really odd that shouldn't
and
be doing that.
On the ballot will be the opportunity to fix that.
There must be a line cross somewhere because the equipment looks
exactly
great.
A very good point, and it's right on target, is that we've got to stop taking money from the public for purposes other than what we have represented.
Marsha, let's talk tonight.
The people are going just scratching their head, and they just don't care anymore because they said they're going to do what they want with it anyway, so why should they even bother?
Well, that's one of the things that one of the areas I'm having a problem with that the Democrats have proposed with regards to this budget. Because they're actually proposing a reduction in the amount of money being paid back on the previous dollars borrowed from the 42 transportation fund, and that's the wrong message to send. If we're gonna do that, then why are we going to the voters wanting more money on a transportation bond if we're gonna take money?
But let's also look at what's happening on a national level. We are at a deficit that is so scary. We talk about this. You know, President Bush is supposedly a conservative Republican. I don't think so. This is not conservative. A real conservative Republican does not do what President Bush has been doing. That spending out the yazoo has created more programs than in the history of our nation. This is not Republican.
Well, with all due respect, I think actually Republicans like to spend money just as much as Democrats.
Yeah, but you're supposed to hold the line. You keep telling us you're holding the line.
Well, at the federal level, they can print money.
That's what I was just going to say. That's how they get away with it. They just keep going and say, print out a few more. You know, that's no problem. $2 billion
more. I think it's really important that we do is we got to hold the line on taxes. Now, in California...
We pay
the fifth highest taxes in the country, and you're going to hear some of our other friends are from the other side of the aisle. They're going to want to encourage the raising of taxes in order to deal with these issues, and that's just not going to get us there. Wilson tried that back in the 1990s, and it had a devastating effect and went the exact reverse of where you want to go.
Yeah.
Back then, they came up with about an $8 billion plan of tax increases and so forth. They needed to get from a $40 billion revenue source to around a 49, and the next year they actually took in $1 billion less than what they had the year before. So the problem is it doesn't work. It causes the public to go in reverse, and that's what we need to avoid now. We can get ourselves out of this jam without tax increases as long as we keep a control on spending. And we continue to allow this economy to grow. We can grow our way out of this problem.
Okay.
But you got to be really careful because if any little hiccup comes about,
it's
we're in trouble.
It's called you trip, you fly down, you break it.
Absolutely.
Again.
We can't afford that.
Thank you so much, Senator Dutton,
well,
for being
you.
With us. I know you're busy today and you're taking time out to be with us on Pop Off. And we are popping off on Pop Off just for your sake.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate you being here.
Come back anytime.
Okay.
Thank you
Bye-bye.
So much, Senator Dutton. Okay, who cares? You do. And we do make a difference on Pop Off. That's what it's all about. we're sending out an SOS, and the SOS means we're going to the governor's office. We're going to find out exactly what goes on there. He's looking for another term. That's Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who I got a chance to meet last night. A very delightful person, but I got to tell you something. I didn't tell you this on the air yesterday, and I'm going to tell Paul Navarro, who's my next guest, too. I actually met the governor when he was pumping iron in about 1975. That was his first movie out, or second movie out. And he was in Indianapolis, Indiana, where I had my very, very first television show. And I was a cub reporter. And let me put it this way. Sometime I'll tell you the whole story, but he swept me off my feet. Now, think about that for a second. And think very literal when you hear it. But he is looking for another term. He's the Terminator. He's star of the big screen. And he's known around the world. Arnold Schwarzenegger has kicked up a lot of California dust as governor. But what is he really like? Now, maybe the governor's chief deputy legislative affairs secretary, Paul Navarro, can give us some insight. Was that the correct title for you? Okay. Paul, I need to get you in real, real close here. All right. Now, what's he really like? You work with him every day.
The governor, well, let me just step back. When governor first came into office, I think there were a lot of us here in Sacramento who had been here for a while. We were a little skeptical.
I bet.
This guy's an actor, and he's a bodybuilder. What can he know?
Uh-huh.
Didn't take for long for all of us to understand. He knows a lot. And he's
good businessman.
He's definitely a good businessman. He understands numbers, he understands budget, and he understands a lot of policy. And it didn't take long for us to get him up to speed because he's a sharp guy. And I've been in Sacramento through three different governors, and he's probably the sharpest one we've had.
Really?
No doubt.
That's good to hear. But again, he comes from a very strong business world. I mean, the man has made good bucks in the business he's been in.
Yes, it's that mentality. It's the mentality, you know, we have an objective to meet, and we're going to meet it. Whatever it takes, that's what we're going to have to do.
What does he say no to?
He says no to new taxes. That's definitely the one thing he definitely says no to.
And he keeps taking out loans.
Well, but is that a new tax? No, it's not.
Yeah, it is to me because my grandchildren and their great-grandchildren will probably be paying for it.
Well, at the same time, you know, what you're paying for right now, it's not going to go up. That's our objective. What people are paying for right now in their income tax and in their sales tax, it's not going to go up. We got to make sure the economy bounces back. And once the economy bounces back, even further than it has, we're going to be able to pay off these loans even quicker. In fact, in our budget, we paid off the loans that we took out earlier even quicker. And that's his objective. He's a practical man, and that's the bottom line. He doesn't want to raise taxes, but he's also a practical man. We have to ease back into getting rid of this deficit just as the economy eases back into place.
Ah, but that's the whole thing. So how do we get the economy back really stimulated and get it going again?
Sure, and well, the thing we know for sure is that you start taxing folks and you start taxing business,
they start moving out.
People start moving out of the state.
They're doing that right now.
They stop buying California goods. We start losing California jobs, and that's the kind of thing that we need to stop, and we need to start moving towards getting growth in the economy.
Does he still have his cigar tent?
He enjoys his cigars, and that's one of his few
but
guilty
pleasures. But I got to ask you, no, it's okay. I mean, if he wants to smoke a cigar, that's cool. I have no problem with that. But does he hold meetings with other people who smoke cigars?
Yes, now. To be fair,
that's not fair because if I don't smoke a cigar, I still want to be in that meeting.
Well, sure, and I'll tell you this.
Okay.
In the times that we've been in meetings in the smoking tent, he is always very good about asking everyone, "Do you mind if I smoke?" And if you say no, he doesn't smoke.
Has anybody said no?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you know.
Staff,
you know, we sit there. I joke with him, "Governor, you're going to owe me a lot in dry cleaning costs because you're killing my suits here."
and clean out your lungs, too, while you're at it.
But the fact of the matter is he is very gracious about making sure that everyone understands.
Oh, good.
If you have a problem with me smoking, I'm not going to do it.
Okay, that's good. Because, you know, you don't want to leave somebody out just
sure.
because they don't want to go in
sure.
there and get that secondary smoke.
No.
Or they maybe just don't like cigars, period.
I think a lot of folks like it. They enjoy the atmosphere. But if you've got a problem with it, he does not have a problem not smoking.
Okay, that's good. That's good to hear. I was hoping you would say that. It's amazing that he seems to be in touch with people. He cares about the little guy, or does he? I mean, does he really know what's going on with the little guy out there? The man is so rich. He's got more money than God, you know, and he's kind of on a different level than any of us.
Sure, but he does talk to a lot of folks. I mean, when he's walking around and amongst the people, he talks to them very closely and says, you know, what is it that concerns you? He does have a lot of money. He does have a different lifestyle than most people do because he's been very successful in his business. But he understands, I mean, when we're talking about legislation, we're talking about policies, he always asks us as staff, okay, what do the interest groups say, what do the lobbyists say, but how is this really going to impact the the real people.
Yeah.
It's always the bottom line.
Guy,
it always comes back to, I don't care what the statewide organizations say. I'd like to hear what their input is. But at the end of the day, you guys need to tell me, what is it, how is this going to impact people in their homes and in their families and in their everyday life?
And how do you keep in touch with the people to find that out?
And we meet with people all the time. The governor's office is very open to folks who ever want to come in and voice their point of view, and we sit and talk on education issues. In fact, I would rather not meet with lobbyists. I would rather meet with actual teachers, administrators, and folks who are actually implementing the policies down to the school level. And I always welcome them. You don't need a lobbyist to come talk to us. If you want to come up and tell me what your problems and your issues are, I will listen and I will communicate that to the governor. You don't need to pay a high-priced suit to get your point across.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that, because to be honest with you, I've gotten to a point where if I see one more lobbyist, there's a lobbyist for everything.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
I mean,
as long as someone feels like they need to be represented, they'll pay a lot of money for
a lobbyist. For people who want to support, you know, crickets making noise at night, or they probably got a lobbyist for that. It's just amazing how they can come up with all the titles for lobbyists.
Sure, and you know, and it's a business just like any other business, but again, in this administration, we're much more interested in what the actual real people on the street feel and what they think and how it's impacting their lives, not what the lobbyists are telling us.
Now, do you get a chance to go out with him when he's campaigning?
No, that's we try to separate out what I do in the policy side within the building and what happens on the campaign. We're very, you know, the governor likes to have it as a separate thing. What happens on the campaign and what goes on there is separate on the decisions that we make with respect to what's good public policy.
Do you get a chance to see Maria Shriver very often?
Yeah, Maria, the first lady's in the office.
Hi, Maria.
Quite a bit. And,
we're paying
and
him.
Has,
we can call her Maria.
She does like to have everyone call her Maria, but you know, I like to do the protocol. But she's been quite a bit, and she has a very big role in making sure that everyone is. It's a very balanced administration, I'll say.
In what way?
You know, at the end of the day, Maria is very good about connecting with the people, like you said, and mm-hmm. she understands for special education kids, for instance, they don't get a lot of attention. That's one of her big things that she wants to make sure.
That's the Kennedy in her.
I think that's true. That's her
family.
Her family has taken up that cause for decades.
You bet it.
And we're carrying it on in this administration. She is our conscience to make sure that this administration is very balanced. It is, mm-hmm. While we are very business friendly and friendly to making sure that the economy bounces back, we also don't want to leave out the folks who don't have the big moneyed interest.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to understand that, you know, California is made up of a lot of folks. And I think Maria makes sure that we are addressing all of their needs.
I'm sure she lets Arnold know, too. You know,
I'm pretty sure that they have their own conversations offline as well.
I bet. Now, when he comes into the office, what's a routine for him, a routine day?
You know, I don't think there is any routine day in an Arnold Schwarzenegger,
really?
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's life. It's just, I mean, every day is a new adventure. I always like to say it's never dull in the governor's office. I mean, there are times where...
What's the wildest thing that's happened in the governor's office?
Well, I don't know if that's wild, but we have a lot more personalities that flow through the governor's office than Gray Davis ever did, or Pete Wilson, I would assume.
Like?
I still remember the time when right before we were announced our higher ed compact with UCM-CSU, we were in briefing the governor. We're going to do a press conference right after. Here's what we did. Here's how much money we're appropriating. Big table. Rob Lowe walks in. Starts walking in. Everyone turns and looks at Rob Lowe, and the room just is quiet. And the women in the room, of course, are like, oh, my God, it's Rob Lowe.
This is another actor.
And I remember pounding on the table, hello, people, we need to focus. We've got a press conference in 5 minutes. We need to focus.
That's cool.
But those kinds of things happen. I don't think that happened in prior administrations. But, you know, Danny DeVito walks through, you know, Clint Eastwood.
He must be a kick when he walks in, Danny DeVito.
Yeah, he's definitely a personality for... Being small in stature, I think he carries a lot of personality. Yeah.
In many, many different
Very
ways.
Very much so.
But I think it's nice, in some ways, it's great to have somebody with the kind of personality that Arnold Schwarzenegger does have. Simply because when somebody like a Rob Lowe or Danny DeVito, or I don't care what kind of megastar walks in, he's not impressed.
No, that's absolutely the case. And I think that's what we've been impressed with this governor. It's that he's not intimidated by anyone. He's not overly impressed by anyone. He just wants to do what's the right thing.
Yeah.
And so folks come in making their case, and, you know, if it makes sense, we'll do it. If it doesn't make sense, we won't.
What's the most, what kind of a request do you get in the office more than anything else?
Photos.
Photos,
and signatures. I mean, his name, his name carries a lot of weight for a lot of people. I mean, there it's what I think is amusing. We have his business card up front in our in the lobby in our office, and people from out of state or from out of country or even within California, they'll walk in, and if they can walk out with a business card that says Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, it is like the highlight of their life.
How funny.
You know, I've had school groups come in and say, can we just take a card? We would just love to have a card to bring back to our classroom. Because it has his name, Arnold Schwarzenegger,
yeah.
And which is a real hoot. Because at this point, we don't even look at the governor as Arnold Schwarzenegger, the old Conan.
Yeah.
He is the governor of the state of California.
You bet.
And I'll tell you, the first few weeks, we were starstruck. I think all of us who have been here forever, you know, this guy has been on TV.
Yeah.
But he started acting like the governor, and he was the governor, and he is the governor. And we just treat him like the governor.
Well, he
now.
Took a pay cut.
He definitely did that.
A big pay cut to
he
be able to do this. So you got to be devoted to what you're doing to do that.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, listen, I have to put my little request in because I got a book coming out, so maybe I can get him to do a little endorsement on my book.
Well, that happens on some other side of the operation, but we'll see what we can do about it.
Oh, terrific. Now, what about you? How did you get started in this whole business?
I was actually in the legislature I was legislative staff for 10 years before I came down. I worked with a
You're too young to be in that long.
It's the Asian skin. It makes me look a lot younger.
I love it.
But I worked for a Republican leadership in the assembly.
Mm-hmm.
I did all the budget issues. I did education issues. The governor got elected. He got inaugurated. I was called down. I was upstairs minding my own business. He had his inauguration. I got called down. Chief staff sat me down and started just talking to me about a bunch of different issues and some of the other senior staff, and then next thing I know, she said, let's go meet the governor.
Mm-hmm.
I went in to meet the governor, and
yeah, how nice, they want to meet me.
And I thought, wow, that's Arnold Schwarzenegger, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the chief staff said, Governor, I want you to meet your new education consultant. And I turned around and looked, and
me?
And the governor put his hand out and said, good to meet you, welcome aboard, we have a meeting with the CTA next week. I hope you're going to be ready.
Whoa.
And there I went. And
there goes Paul running into Google's research.
And that was it. Yeah, I remember thinking, boy, you caught me cold here, but I guess I can't pass up on an opportunity for working for a governor and working for this governor in particular.
Yeah. What do you think he's going to be like on the campaign trail on this one? I really think that there's such a division between these two candidates. It's going to be absolutely, you know, like day and night.
I think it's going to be a no-brainer. I mean, at some point, the Phil Angelides, who wants to raise your taxes and destroy your economy, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, who wants to move forward and not raise your taxes and make this economy better and stronger than ever before, it's going to be a no-brainer. Now, having said that, I think the governor is going to be back to where he was when he first started.
Have the enthusiasm.
I want to connect with the people. I want to hear what they say. I want to make sure that we're doing and we're responsive to what the people want in the state of California.
I think he probably would have had a much heavier competition if Steve Wesley would have gotten the nomination.
Well, you never know. I mean, politics is a strange thing.
Yeah,
but he was more moderate than the division and the lines, the bright line between Phil Angelides and Arnold Schwarzenegger are very clear, and I think the people of California will make an easy choice.
You betcha. So what's next on the agenda for the governor in the next few days?
We're trying to get a budget closed.
Oh, okay.
He's meeting with the legislative leaders right now between the Democrats and the Republicans in both houses, and we're trying to iron out some differences, and hopefully we'll have a budget by June 15th passed out of the legislature for the governor to sign.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would be amazing, given all of the contentiousness.
How many years has it been since they've actually closed out on time? Ever?
No, I don't remember. It's probably before my lifetime.
Fantastic. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us. You've been a good sport.
Thank you,
Paul.
I appreciate being here.
And I hope you'll be able to be back with us and talk again.
I'd be happy to do that.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Paul Navarro. And he's got that firsthand line with, of course, the governor. So thanks again so much. And up close and personal, that's what the Terminator is all about. And we've got a lot more up close and personal because coming up very, very shortly, we are going to be talking with none other than Senator Tom McClintock, a very good friend, but also a person who has really good information about what is happening with the state of California.
I love the colorful kitchenette and the way the sunlight plays upon her head. I hear the sound of the gentle on the wind that whispers perfume through the air. I'm picking up.
We've got some good vibrations going on here. Now, let me tell you about this man. I've known him for, at least, I want to say 3, 4, 5, about 6 or 7 years, at least, on and off. 19 years in the legislature, candidate for governor. He, next to Arnie, is one of probably the most recognizable political leaders on the West Coast. But for me, I feel that I like him best because he tells it like it is and let the chips fall where they may. Now, Senator Tom McClintock has high ratings in my book simply because he cares. And he's made it, he really would make a great lieutenant governor in my book. I'm being honest about it. Tom, nice to have you. Do you mind if I call you Tom?
Oh, please,
I always, you know, they always say, you have to say the senator and somebody. I say, you know, but I know Tom too long. I have to do it this way.
Good to be back, Mary Jane. It's good to see you here.
Great. I'm so glad we connected at the dinner last night.
Yes.
That was fun.
It was.
It was nice to see the governor kind of really being out there and being among them.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
super.
Well, he loves people. That's his strong suit.
Yeah, well, you too.
He's a people person.
Now, you have been a proponent of streamlining the government and of spending for a long time. Starting at the federal level, Senator, it has been incredible. People are spending out of control.
Well, federal level's above my pay grade, but as a citizen, I am appalled at what the Congress and the administration have done. They've basically doubled the rate of spending since the Clinton administration, which I find absolutely appalling. I feel like a contract has been broken. And I'm upset about it. I think a lot of Americans are.
And then trickling down to the states, in the state of California, now we're trying to hold spending at a minimum, but this is an out-of-control state, too, because it's so huge.
Well, the good news is our revenues have been exploding this year. We've seen a tremendous increase in revenues, and that wasn't by accident. This governor took office. He rolled back Gray Davis's illegal tripling of the car tax. He held the line against new tax increases, and he put through the most comprehensive regulatory reform in the state's history, the workers' compensation reform that's saving employers about $15 billion a year. That's $15 billion more that's now available for wages and additional jobs. And by the way, that when you do that, the economy blossoms,
mm-hmm.
revenues skyrocket. The opposite also works. If you, in a high-tax environment like California, if you increase taxes and increase regulations, as the Democrats have vowed to do, you reduce your total revenues, and that's not just economic theory. That was the bitter experience of California back in 1991 when the biggest tax increase in this state's history broke the back of the economy, turned a recession into a near depression,
right.
and not only brought in only a fraction of the revenues that had been anticipated, but then produced two consecutive years of billion-dollar declines in revenue that wasn't arrested until those tax increases had been rescinded, and that's a lesson we don't need to learn again.
Now, Senator McClintock, I remember when Governor Schwarzenegger first took out that $15 billion bond issue, and you said not a good idea.
I still don't think it's a good idea. I've never thought it's a good idea for 30-year bonds to be taken out to pay for ongoing state expenditures. Now, those are going to be paid off shorter than 30 years. But
still, that's a long time. It's our great grandchildren.
Well, again, I think those are going to be paid off probably within the next 5 or 6 years. But
oh, okay.
I still think it was very unsound policy.
Okay.
The borrowing that was done is masking a continuing budget deficit that we were confronting. The May revision of the budget estimates spending about $7 billion more than we take in.
Wow.
And that's masked by the fact that we have a whole bunch of money that we went out and borrowed
mm-hmm.
at a substantially high interest rate that now has to be paid back. That begins to accelerate our problems as you look forward into future years. I think it would have been a much better idea to confront the chronic deficits at the time rather than push them into the future.
As a lieutenant governor, will you have the governor's ear? I mean, I don't want to compare you to the vice president, but it's almost like being a vice president. Does the vice president have any power?
Well, the difference is in California, the lieutenant governor is independently elected. It's the second ranking constitutional office in state government. And also, unlike the presidential model, when the governor leaves the state boundaries, he ceases to be governor, and all of his duties and authority devolve to the lieutenant governor.
Mm-hmm.
Given that, and also given the nexus between the legislative and executive branches in the lieutenant governor's office, the lieutenant governor also sits as president of the state senate.
Yeah.
You have a post that is in a remarkable position to act not only just as a bully pulpit, but as an engine of policy reform. It can amplify the administration's policies when there is agreement on those policies, and is in a prime position to offer alternatives to those policies when there's not agreement.
Obviously. He's an amiable guy. Is he a real strong leader, Governor Schwarzenegger?
Oh, there's no question he's a very strong leader, very strong personality. In fact, I've now served under five governors, and he is head and shoulders above them in leadership qualities.
Does he have a good business sense?
Oh, no question about that. He's a very successful businessman in his own right.
That's what I was hearing from Paul Navarro. I said, it seems to me that he made a lot of money in the business that he was in, so he would bring that business sense to the office, too.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to see happen in California? If you had your druthers right now, suppose you were
governor.
Well,
the unfinished business of the administration, as I said earlier, we've seen a major increase in our revenues, specifically because of policies that this governor has followed to hold the line against tax increases. But the unfinished work of this administration is now to control spending. Our spending continues to be out of control. To introduce the efficiencies that are long overdue to assure that we're getting what we're paying for. For example, Californians today are paying the third highest tax per gallon of gasoline in the country, and yet we rank 43rd among the 50 states in our per capita spending for our highways.
Pretty scary, isn't it?
That's not the fault of taxpayers for not paying enough taxes. Now, by the way, credit to the administration. When he took office, we were 49th among the 50 states in per capita spending for highways. So we've moved up six places. But as you can see, a great deal more work is necessary.
Fantastic. I would love to have you come back, or we can do it by phone or whatever, so we can spend more time really getting into a lot of the issues. Today we're just kind of going really fast and moving as fast as the speed of light and trying to get as many people in today. And I also want to get another woman in. But doggone it, there weren't very many women around here for me to interview.
They're all busy.
No. There are only, six women in the assembly?
Oh, I don't know. I've never counted, to be honest with you. I think it's probably more than that. But okay, I'll trust you.
I want more Republican women, okay?
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I enjoyed having you. You've been absolutely fantastic, always along the way.
But it's always a pleasure.
And you always have been the person that, like I said, straightforward. You're a straight shooter. You're honest with us. Where the chips may fall, and this is what I really appreciated, because it didn't matter who, if a Democrat or Republican was saying it, you called it like you saw the right way for the people.
Well, thank you very much.
Please keep that up. Do not change.
No, I...
If you change, I'll be here popping off at you.
I'm getting old enough now. I'm not interested in changing.
You're
anymore.
Terrific. Senator McClintock,
thank you
so much for taking the time
My
out
pleasure.
To be with us. I know how busy you are.
Thanks again for having me.
Come
here,
back
real
soon.
I will,
okay.
I promise.
Thank you. Keeping ahead of the times on Pop Off, that's what we're trying to do.
Well, East Coast girls are hip, I really dig those styles they wear.
We've only got a couple of minutes left here in the show, but I could not resist having on another lady. Because yesterday I had all guys, and I wanted to have some ladies today. So I had Mimi Walters on a little bit earlier. And now we've heard from all the male point of view. So now we've got to move on to a little bit of the ladies' point of view from the Republican caucus. Sally Leader. Lieber is an assembly in the assembly, and she is which district are you from?
I represent the heart of Silicon Valley.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's strong territory. Now you've got a lot of issues that you're interested in, but one that really got my attention was the bride trafficking protection. Tell them about that.
Yeah, this is a bill that actually passed out of Senate committee yesterday, and it's to regulate international marriage brokers in California. Right now, there are dozens of marriage brokers bringing in women from foreign countries to California. And oftentimes, these are women who are in a very vulnerable position, don't know what their rights are in the U.S., and don't know about the criminal and marital history of the grooms that they're coming to marry.
You know, we're running really short in time. Can I ask you to come back? That is a major issue. Can you come back? I'll do
Certainly.
It by phone even. But we need to talk about this.
Certainly. That would be great.
I appreciate you stopping by. You are absolutely terrific. We're running so doggone short on time today, and I do apologize, folks. But we will be back with you tomorrow with more of Pop-Up. We'll be back in the studio, and we'll have fun. And, of course, we are going to have Sally Beaver back with us. Again, live simply, laugh often, love deeply and above all else. You dare to dream. That's what Pop-Up is all about.
The elections in our lifetime, this was easily the weirdest and the funniest.
Hello? Yes, hello. Yes, I'm a voter from West Palm Beach, Florida. And as you know, I had some trouble in the election. Let me tell you what happened. There's a hole in the center of the ballot. There's a hole in the center of the ballot. There's a hole. There's a hole. There's a hole in the center of the ballot. For the vision-impaired voter. There's some braille near the tiny little pointer near the name to the left of the arrow near the name to the right of the hole in the center of the ballot. There's a riot in the streets and a guy on TV and a Jesse on a march and a judge in a court near the braille near the tiny little pointer near the name to the left of the arrow near the name to the right of the hole in the center of the ballot. There's a hole, there's a hole, there's a hole in the center of our heads. Come to the poll, why don't you, babe? Come my hole, why don't you, babe? But you never dispatch me, you just keep me hanging on.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others' endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.